No matter what we're facing in life, no matter where we go, God's power through the working of His Spirit will see us through time and time again. Charles Stanley, in a book he entitled The Wonderful Spirit of Life, made this observation about many Christians and many believers. He says, "For too many believers, the life of a Christian has been boiled down to doing the best that I can. I'm living the best Christian life and doing what I can to make it." That kind of contradicts what Dave was just singing about. But doesn't that also sound kind of odd and even tragic? I mean, for a watching world that's dying without God, and they look into the life of many believers and their life of how we face struggles and how we face even the good times is vastly no different than those who believe and those who don't believe. That's very tragic. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm living out my life. Just settle in, find a comfortable place, and settle in, because this is about the best life I can have and I can experience. It's what I'm having now, so I might as well settle in and see what I can do. If I can find a comfort level, that's about all that I can expect about life. You know, joys, or life is made up of series of joys, series of struggles, and with heaven at the end as a reward. Is that really all there is to life? Just finding a place of comfort. Jesus taught us that when He left, He would send the Comforter. He would send the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And the Spirit would be our comfort. The Spirit would come and guide us in all things of life. The Spirit would come and challenge us in life. The Spirit would come and convict us of our sin in our life. The Spirit would help us navigate and guide us all through the things of life. But yet, we want to live and know that there's more to life than what we're experiencing. I mean, we understand that when we're going through struggles and strife that, yeah, God's Spirit's there to help us and He's there to comfort us and He's there to help us get us through. But there's oh so much more. That's not what Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us that I came that you may have life and that you would have it more abundantly. The Spirit's coming, and He's going to guide you in all matters of truth and all matters of life. And here's the thing we have to know. The Holy Spirit is our number one helper in life. Did you catch that? You may want to write that down. The Holy Spirit is our number one helper in life. God has sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us in all things, in all matters of life. He's there to help us. So when the watching world sees us, they should see us living an extraordinary life. Not that we're doing necessary, great, and miraculous things. It's just that they see maturity. They see Christ's likeness in us. They see the grace of God abounding and coming from our lives freely because we're under the influence, we're under the power and the control of the Holy Spirit. See, that manifests itself, or it's shown in our lives. The working of the Spirit in us is shown in how we utilize the spiritual gifts God's given us. The Spirit-filled life is shown or is seen in how we're living out the Spirit fruit. Galatians 5. That's seen. Unfortunately, for many of us, and many believers fall in this group as well, we give no real thought for God. In some sense, God is inconsequential to our lives. You know, I've got to figure this thing out about life. It's about what I put together in life. Yeah, God's there. If He's there, He doesn't always help out. So it's what I make out of life. So God sometimes is inconsequential if He's there. And unfortunately, we may never say that as believers, but we live it that way. See, as believers, we have or should have become imitators of God. We are no longer people of darkness. We are people of the light. We possess the light of God in us. Find in your Bibles this morning, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. If you're using one of the Bibles on the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 153, and there you should find Ephesians 5. Remember, it begins to renumber in the New Testament with Matthew, so you're part two of that book. Now, Paul's already been writing in this letter to the Ephesians about the life that they had before God and the life they have now. You were once dead in your sins. You were people of darkness. Now you've been brought to life because of the grace of God. It's a grace that's for all. Now he kind of turns his tension a little bit, or our tension changes just a little bit here. It's because of this change that's come, because of the grace of God it's brought in your life, it's changed. Here's the things that it's going to change in your life. Here's how it's going to affect you. And he talks about the Spirit of God coming upon us today, and that we're to walk in the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, he influences us in all things of our life. And he's going to share this with us. We're going to walk in the Spirit. Now, today we're really just going to introduce this idea of what it is to be Spirit-filled and to walk in the Spirit. We're going to be there over the next few weeks as we continue on for Ephesians, talking about how this influence of the Spirit works in us and in our relationships. For now, pick up in verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, there's quite a few things there. Paul talks about really two different lifestyles. You have the world's lifestyle and you have God's lifestyle. You have the world's point of view, the world's culture, and you have God's point of view, God's culture. And the world's culture keeps you in darkness. God's world puts you into light. The world's culture puts you in doing what you have to do. God's world, God's culture puts you into what God's going to do in and through your life through the work in the Spirit. Years ago, someone made this observation about the paradox of our times. It says that we have taller buildings and shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower points of view. We spend more money but have less quality things to show for it. We buy more things but enjoy them less. We have bigger houses but smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less common sense, more knowledge but impaired judgments, more experts and more medicine but less wellness. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We love too little, too seldom, and hate too easily and way too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not how to make a life. We've added years to our life, but not life to our years. We've been to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet our new neighbor. We've cleaned up our air, but we've neglected and polluted our soul. We split the atom, but we can't break through our prejudices. We have higher incomes, but sacrificed our morals. We've become long on quantity and short on quality. We've sacrificed our community commitment and replaced it with our own selfishness. Now gunshots fill our classrooms and precious children die. We seek for answers everywhere and we ask questions why. And we regulate restrictive laws through legislation creed. And yet we fail to understand it's God. God is who we need. Instead of looking for wisdom for life, we've settled for a comfortable life. When we know that real life happens through the power of God, through the grace that's for all, seen through His Son Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and resurrection. That's where real life happens. So how do we get there? How do we move this direction? How do we see that we have the life of the Spirit flowing through us and the grace of God flowing in our lives? Well, what did Paul tell us first off? He said, pay attention. Look for the wisdom of God. He said, walk carefully. Look carefully how you walk, wisely. And in that, he's saying everything that's been written above, this whole life change has happened. It says, walk according to this. You were once the people of darkness, now you're the people of the light because of God that's living in you. If we're going to walk wisely, we're going to walk in humility. We're going to walk in unity. We're going to walk separated from the world, but bringing part with God. This word careful has the idea of putting something under examination. Looking for the exactness that's there. We get our word circumspect from here. It's a Latin term meaning looking around. The Greek idea has that it's sorting through things, looking for the exactness. So we're looking for the exactness of the way to walk and to live our life. The reason we're doing this, he says, is life is short. The days are evil. We must live in this wisdom. It's imperative that we do this. We just can't float through life aimlessly. We have to look for the power and the presence of God, looking for the Spirit who has come.
He uses words like unwise and foolish. And when we normally think of the word fool, we think of someone who is unintelligent or irresponsible. The scripture idea is the person who is fool is one who says there's no God. So when we live our life in contempt for God, when we live in our life as if God is inconsequential, we have played the fool. But when we become the child of God, we become instantly wise because the Spirit of God has come upon us. It's God who is leading us with life. It is God who is life. God is it for us. See, now we become foolish, though, when we walk back to the darkness. When we allow sin to attract itself or get onto our lives or get into our life, we become foolish. We become spiritually fools again. Once we were dead in our trespasses and sins, see, we were spiritually foolish then. We go back into spiritual foolishness when we leave the light of God and go back toward the darkness. Now, we use the intelligence of God. We use the wisdom of God when we make the most of the days of God. So the days that God has given to us, we're making the most about His glory. We're making the most about His grace in our lives. That's what Paul says. There's just a certain allotted amount of time. There's certain seasons that we have for the opportunities for the grace of God to be seen in us, for us to influence people around us. He says, make the most of every opportunity you have. Now, that's really a financial term. It really means to buy up. So you're going to corner the market. You're going to buy up, you're going to redeem the time for God through His grace that's living in us. And notice how this happens. Verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Living under the influence of the Holy Spirit will lead us to a wise life. Catch that? Living under the influence of the Holy Spirit will lead us to a wise life. Now, Paul's not only talking about how we communicate with God, but it's how we live our life out with God. It's that day-to-day thing. It's how we live in obedience to Him. It's how we live in service to Him. Again, it's how we live out in the fruit of the Spirit. It's how we live out with the giftedness that God has made for us. And it's not really that far of a stretch that that Paul would make a comparison to the Ephesians gods and service to them and how we would serve God. He says, you don't get drunk. That's debauchery. That's to go into all kinds of illicit sins. That's where it leads to. He says, but you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a different terminology than what was used back in Acts. Remember when the Spirit of God came upon people? There were extraordinary things that took place. There was great miraculous things that were taking place when the Spirit of God came upon the early church. That's not what Paul's talking about here. What Paul's talking about here is that we're to be filled, is that we're to go under the governance, or we're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So he says, we will to work in the control, to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Now, it's also written as a command. I know that sounds kind of odd. How can you command somebody to be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, how do we get filled with the Spirit of God in the first place? When we become believers, the Spirit of God comes and indwells us. Every person who has confessed sin and has turned to God has been filled with the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual tank is full. Your spiritual tank will never, ever run out. That's a good thought this summer with gas nearly $3 a gallon. Your tank will never run out. See, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we have all the comfort we're going to need for life when we become a believer. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, when we are filled with the Spirit at the point of conversion, we have all the power we're going to need for life. We have all the guidance we're going to need for life. We said, Pastor, you just proved what you said earlier wasn't true. Is that this is all that I can expect. I might as well settle in, find what's comfortable. Wrong, because that's not what we're being taught here about being filled with the Spirit. Paul is teaching us something different. About being filled is being under the influence of the Spirit of God. It's about being, not doing. Now, what's that mean? It's about abiding in the Spirit of God daily. It's not being a consumer that you're going to use it up. It's about being. It's about walking. It's about being there every day. Now, notice kind of how this is termed in here. It's not a suggestion. Again, it's imperative. We have to be this way. If we're going to expect to live out a Spirit-filled life, We're going to have to be filled. You know, if life is just about making it the best that I can and living a comfortable life, why do I need the Holy Spirit? There's more to life. See, it's imperative that we live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Notice that be filled is also plural. Now, what does that mean? It's meant for everybody. It's not meant for just some denominations, not meant for just the pastor, the staff, or the deacons. It's meant for every believer. Every believer is to be filled. Every believer is to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now notice something else. It's to be filled also to be submissive. You can't be filled yourself. You can't do it. The Spirit of God does it. How it happens, how do we get under that influence, is that we submit ourselves to the authority of God. We submit ourselves to the thing of God. It's like taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. It's about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, it's what I'm doing. In doing, I'm submitting myself. I'm putting myself under the means of authority of God. Notice this, being filled is also continual. The verb usage here is that it was something that happened in the past, but it carries on well into the future. So I have been filled, I am being filled, and I will be filled. See, it never runs out. It's a continual process. As we mature as believers, the more time we spend in God's Word, the more time we spend in the presence of God, the more time we spend praying, the more time we spend with other believers, the more time we spend being discipled, the more time we spend sharing the good news of Jesus with others, we begin to find ourselves more and more under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It grows that way. It's kind of like when you're learning to walk. You ever watch your kids or your grandkids when they're learning to walk? First, we call them cruisers because they hang on to stuff. Kind of as they walk, you know, they're not real sure of themselves. Then they'll venture out and their arms are out. We call them toddlers because they kind of toddle around because they're really still not real sure of themselves. But as you notice, those hands go down. They begin to take better steps, wider steps, longer steps. Before long, they're running around. You can't catch them. What changed? They grew in confidence about what they were doing. They grew stronger and their bodies changed as it was intended. That's about being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The more time we spend in the power and the presence of God, the more time we spend in His Word, the more time we spend listening to other disciples, being discipled ourselves, the more time we spend sharing the good news of Jesus, we will grow up and mature and show Christ-likeness in where, all that we are, and that we'll be seeing that we'll be controlled more and more by the Holy Spirit. Now, the less time we spend doing those things, the more time we spend going back into the foolish things of the darkness, we begin to put a barrier between us and God, and we become less and less under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Paul talked about drinking here. He says, the more you drink, the more influence it's going to have upon you. The less you put alcohol in your body, the less effect it's going to have on your body. The same way with the power of the Spirit of God. Years ago, I worked as a chaplain or volunteered as a chaplain with the police department. And in that department, they asked that we ride along with police officers periodically. And they also wanted us to span that out over multiple shifts. So I was with a police officer one night. It was about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we noticed this guy was kind of weaving in the road, so we pulled him over. Now, I use "we" very lightly there. We pulled him over. I was just in the car with him when he pulled over. Well, he gets him out and he runs him through the test. You know, walk this straight line, put your head back, use your finger to your nose and say your ABCs. He could do none of that because he was under the influence of alcohol. Paul says we need to flip that around and be that so controlled by the Holy Spirit. You might put it this way. Paul says be inebriated with the Holy Spirit. Every day, submit yourself to the authority, to the control of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says. It's not this dramatic spiritualization that automatically comes one day to you. I mean, we don't get zapped with the Holy Spirit. It's not manufacturing the work of God. You know, I got to do this or I got to do that. It's about abiding in who God is. It's not about possessing an object. No, we're indwelt. We don't possess it. It's not about gaining a little here and a little there. No, we get all the Spirit of God
when we become a believer. It's not about a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in conversion. It's not the idea of spiritual security, though we have the spiritual security because the Spirit of God is upon us. It's the idea of being kept full. It's not an option, it's a command. To resist the influence of the Spirit of God in your life as a believer is to rebel against God. And again, the watching world sees no difference in your life and the difference in life that you say you have because you have God in it, and they don't see any difference. So life really is just doing the best you can with it. We need the Holy Spirit to make the difference in us. Now notice the difference that it makes. One of the places it shows up. Verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Living this life of influence, living this wise life affects our relationships. That's what he's talking about here. Because we're influenced of the Holy Spirit, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, every relationship we have will be influenced. Now notice where he says it begins. It's fixed with speech. Just like alcohol. You drink a lot, it's going to affect your speech. How you say things and what you say is going to affect. The Spirit of God comes upon you, it will change the things you say and how you say it, because you will be speaking from grace, not words of condemnation, but grace. And notice it says speaking in this way. Now, speaking, this term here, is really the idea of a chant. I don't know, maybe it's an ancient form of rap. I don't know. I'm not really into rap music, but I don't really think that's what Paul is talking about, really, because the idea is a chirping of a bird. A joyous type of thing. He says you're going to speak joyously to one another because the grace of God has worked in you and has changed and you are filled with the Spirit of God. And then you notice he says, then you're going to use psalms. Well, that's the Scriptures. The psalms were spiritual songs. The psalms were prayers. He says, you're going to do this. It's going to be like singing a solo. It's going to be like singing in the choir. It's going to be like singing in the congregation because you're going to use the Scriptures as you build one another up in Christ. Not tear each other down. You're going to build each other up. And he says you're going to use hymns as well. Those are songs of praise. Those are songs of doctrine. Those are songs of theology. It's how you're going to teach one another to grow up in Christ and be stronger in your beliefs. He says then you're going to use spiritual songs. Those are like choruses that we sing. They could have also been testimonial songs about what God's done in my life. Then notice he says singing. Well, that's the human voice we're going to use. No better instrument that God has created than the human voice. I think of the old African-American pastors that would preach at times, and they would get we call it a sing-song type of rhythm. And they would literally almost sing their sermon to you. Man, it'd be a little more pleasant, but you don't want to hear me sing. It's the only problem I have with that. But then he says making a melody. That really means to pluck an instrument or to make music with your life. The psalmist said, sing a new song unto the Lord. Make a new song unto the Lord. You know, some of us, we're not under the influence of the Holy Spirit because we ain't never going to sing a new song. It's got to be at least 100 years old before it's worth anything. The psalmist says, sing a new song. God says, sing a new song. Pluck an instrument. Make a new song unto the Lord. This is a movement of the heart. You see, you cannot sing from the heart unless you have music in your heart. You can't sing and talk of grace unless grace is in your heart. You see, you can do it with your lips, but not with your heart. And God looks and knows your heart. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how this influence of the Holy Spirit affects our interpersonal relationships, like in the church life, and with husbands and wives, and with kids and workplaces and that sort of thing. But for now, what we need to grasp is that it's not about just doing the best I can. Doing the best I can is about self-preservation. It's about making life comfortable as I see it.
I don't know if you figure this out yet or not, but this is so true about who we are if we're living in self-preservation and all. It doesn't matter. I understand you love your family, and you love your spouse, you love your children, you love your grandkids, you love your church, you love God. But if you're living just doing the best that you can, when your comfort zone gets threatened, you're going to lash out. You're going to start to complain because you're not comfortable anymore. And when you're not comfortable, because that's what you're working for, instead of taking steps of faith and following God, you're worried about the comfort, and then you're going to lash out to people, and you're not going to submit to one another. In fact, you're going to ask people to submit to you because you're going to want them to do things your way and in how you want it done and when you want it done, to your preferences and to your opinions. But if you'll submit to the feeling and the authority and the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll enjoy the abundant life that Jesus promised. You'll see and experience the glory of God. You'll understand and know what it is to live in the grace of God and to walk in the grace of God and to share the grace of God, because your life will be consumed with it. It'll be in your heart, so it cannot do anything else but come out. How much of your life is under the influence of God's Holy Spirit? If I went and asked people that were close to you, your friends, your family, how would they answer that about you? That yes, you're walking in the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of a day, of a culture. That you're walking and living by faith, not by your preferences and opinions about life. You're living out of what's found in God's Word, not what's taught by pop psychology or what seems logical in our culture. What might you need to turn over to the Spirit of God? What might you need to give up and say, God, this has influenced me. I want to be influenced by your Spirit. I can guarantee you the Spirit of God is telling you right now. But I also can tell you some of you are resisting, because you're more concerned about living in your comfort zone than you are about walking in faith and walking in the light of God. It's about living a life that's walking with God or living a life separated from God. So what in your life needs to come under the submission of the influence of God's Spirit? Let's pray together. God, some great words that you had Paul to write to this church long ago. But God, I think we've seen they are so very relevant for us today. God, they give us such hope. God, they also may bring great conviction and great challenge to us. God, they also teach us of your great love, that you don't want to leave us and just let us live an existence eking by and just being comfortable, but you want us to live a dynamic life through the power of your Spirit in us. So God, I pray and ask, those of us who may have settled into a comfortable life, God, may we be so bold to pray and ask, God, that you'd shake us and wake us up out of that comfortable life, that comfort zone, to step into your light in faith. That not only we see and experience your glory, that not only we see and experience the abundant life, but others would see it in us. And the fruit of the Spirit would be ripe and mature, and we would draw others to you. So God, I pray for these next few moments while we sing, while we continue to pray. It's a commitment we need to make to you, something we need to release out of our life. A new submission, way of walking we need to follow. God, I pray, help us to make that commitment today in following you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. You come. You come as God's leading, as God's directing, as He's asking. Can I get you to bow in prayer just for another moment or so? Maybe you need to make that song your prayer. Fresh touch of the Spirit of God. The influence of God coming and speaking. Us hearing and listening. Create joy for life and excitement of what waits around the corner for us because of God's powerful Spirit in us. God, again, we thank You so much for loving us. We thank You for the gift of Your Spirit that resides in us, dwells with us, lives with us, guides us and helps us. God, I pray that we become more and more influenced every day by Your Spirit. That's when others will see You in us. That's when others will experience Your grace through and from our lives. God, I pray it happens more and more every day. God, as we come to give to You now, give back to what You have given us and how You've blessed us. God, let us use it to bless others in Your goodness and Your grace. So bless us while we give, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated and pass your care cards. Yeah.